The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven. You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased. And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Then, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news, the gospel of the Lord." Praise to you, O Christ. Good morning, children. I want to invite you up to your viewing screens. Man, do I sound old saying viewing screens. Whatever it is that you're watching our service on today. So are any of you guys playing any sports these days? Probably not because there's snow on the ground. But are any of you, do you guys like sports? Do you guys play sports? Give me a thumbs up if you like sports or you play sports. Yeah? All right. So one of the fun things I like about sports is cheering on my favorite teams or my favorite players. So a lot of my favorite players were my own children when they were playing sports. And I remember when my daughter Carly was playing softball in high school, one of the favorite things that her friends would yell from the stands was, "You got this, Carly, you got this." And I always thought that was kind of weird because whenever I participated in sports, whenever I was like up to bat at my little league or playing basketball, and I heard someone say, "You got this," I'd be like, "No, I don't. I'm scared. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this or not." But I want you to know, no matter what, those are nervous times. And when we're in those times, even with sports or even in life, sometimes we don't feel like we got this. But what we do got is the fact that you are loved. All those people cheering for their favorite fans know and believe in them and really want them to succeed. I know especially when I was cheering for my daughter, I wanted her to succeed. And even if she did or not, it was going to be okay. I want you to know that no matter what you try to do, you got this. And even if you don't, it's okay. Because your parents love you, God definitely loves you, your church loves you, your pastor loves you, and you got that. You have that no matter what. I mean, we're always going to get nervous when we are in a new situation or in a really hard time when we're trying to make friends or when we're trying to go back to school or when we're trying to do things in life. God's up there saying, "You got this." And you might not succeed all the time. And there's going to be a lot of times where you do fail. But what you have is God saying, "I love you." What you do have is your church saying, "We love you." What you do have is your parents and your family saying, "We love you. So try. You got this." That's the most important thing. Whether we, the greats, or whether we succeed, those times are going to be great because you got this. But when we fail, we're going to feel crummy for a while. But don't worry, because you got this. You got the love of your community, the people around you. You got the love of God backing you up. So be brave in everything that you do. Try to be prepared, practice, study. No matter what it is, do your best, because you got this. You got the love of God behind you. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, we thank you for having us, for allowing us to try new things, to be brave and bold, knowing that no matter what, if we succeed or if we mess up, you have us and you love us. Help us to love others as you love us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from our Creator and our Lord Jesus Christ to you this wonderful day. So, why would a pastor talk about rainbows during Lent? Well, the easy answer is because that's what the lectionary gives us. And the more deeper, profound answer is because it is what's needed as we are at the beginning of our Lenten journey, as we journey with Christ to the cross. As we enter Lent, a time of self-reflection, we need an understanding of God's inclusive love. And our lectionary for this Sunday helps us dive into the real struggle of our judgment and God's judgment. I believe it is important to take a look back at our church year to see where we have been, to see where we are going. So back in November, we started with Advent, a time of anticipating the coming of Jesus. And then we went through Epiphany, a time we realized who Jesus is, the Messiah. Though in Mark, Jesus wants his disciples to keep the messianic secret in order to focus more on Jesus' authoritative teachings. Now we enter into Lent, our annual trip to go on the inward journey, realizing our personal relationship with God, asking, what is it that Jesus does for us? Why is Jesus willing to go to the cross for us? Once again, we have to look back so we can look forward. The Genesis story gives us an incredible insight into God's judgment. His judgment and God's loving moving forward through the scriptures and, more importantly, through time. In Genesis, because of human sin, God floods the earth and everything on it, except for the inhabitants of the ark, Noah and seven others. Oh, and of course, the animals. God says to Noah and his family, I will make my covenant, my promise with you. Not only with you, but every living creature that is with you. Water will never again flood the earth, and never again will people be cut off by the waters of the flood. Not you, not any future generations. Thank God. And all of these things are very important, but listen to this. This is what I find most interesting. He says, I have set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between you and me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant. That is between me and you and every living creature in all flesh, and the water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. God repeats that again. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember. The everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh on the earth. If you're anything like me, you're asking, why would an omnipotent God need to be reminded of anything? Maybe we're asking the wrong question. Maybe the omnipotence of God requires God to have the sign of the rainbow to fulfill the promise God is making with all flesh and creation. Being a loving, omnipotent God means giving up some of the freedoms of being all-powerful. By God saying, I set my bow in the clouds, God is setting aside God's weapon of war, an actual bow, and conveying a sense of the ending of global destruction. God is setting up what a loving, omnipotent God will do. First, in God's all-powerfulness, God is saying, I am giving up some of my freedom to choose to love you. God chooses loving God's creation. By setting God's bow in the clouds, God is making the covenant between God and creation the motivating factor, the number one priority in God's choices. Second, God is in his all-powerfulness. God is saying, I need this sign of the rainbow to remind me not to get too emotional and forget the promise I have made. Now, before you label me a heretic because I said God has emotions, I'm not placing God in this anthropomorphic box, meaning casting human characteristics onto God. After all, we are the ones created in God's image. Would it be a stretch too much to assume that we have emotions because God has emotions? Listen to this passage in Isaiah. For a brief moment, I abandoned you, but with great compassion, I will gather you. In overflowing wrath, for a moment, I hid my face from you, but with everlasting love, I will have compassion on you, says the Lord your Redeemer. This is like the day of Noah to me. Just as I swore that the waters of Noah would never again go over the earth, so I have sworn that I will not be angry with you and will not rebuke you. God will have great compassion. Though God hid his face in wrath, but will have everlasting love and have compassion. God has sworn not to be angry and will not rebuke us. Thanks to the sign of a rainbow. Compassion, wrath, love, anger sounds pretty emotional to me. And again, in our gospel today, we hear God's words, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." How can anyone be beloved by anyone without emotion being involved? How can someone be pleased with someone without emotion? God gets emotional. If wrath is not an emotion, why else did God flood the entire earth? But God sees that this path of global destruction, of flood, is not the way to move forward with us or with creation. God creates a new covenant. A new covenant that he created with Noah and all of creation so that God sets up this sign, a rainbow, to remind God's self about the promise God made with us. It is this love from our loving, omnipotent God which tears open the heavens at Jesus' baptism, sending the Spirit gently descending like a dove, claiming Jesus, pumping him up by saying, "With you I am well pleased." That statement encourages Jesus in his journey for the next 40 days in the wilderness. God is encouraging Jesus to be strong as he is tempted by Satan. It's less about allowing your emotions to get the best of you and more about the best of you fueling your emotions, where the best of you is knowing that you are a beloved child of God. And so is everyone else. No matter what skin color, what political party, who you love, what gender you are, or what part of the world you live in, God has made this covenant with all flesh. Jesus was tempted by Satan for 40 days and 40 nights. And Satan used every trick in the book, hunger, pride, idolatry. And each time Jesus went back to the love of God to prevent being enticed or manipulated by the lies Satan was spewing. Our Lenten journey begins with Ash Wednesday. As we begin with ashes on our foreheads, it is a reminder that we are created from dust and to dust we shall return. And this could be the biggest temptation of all, knowing we are only dust and ash. Some might find despair and think, well, what's the point? In our wilderness, it would be easy to believe the whispers of Satan and not live into the fullness of God's love. But we are called beloved and children of God. Though we are dust, we have the Spirit of God breathing in us, through us, and around us. We place these ashes on our foreheads as a reminder, a sign, to be humble, and to remember that we only have a short amount of time in which to live into the fullness of God's love, and to make sure all others can live into the fullness of God's love as well. There's a reason these ashes are placed on the same spot where we are marked by the cross of Christ and sealed by the Holy Spirit at our baptism. It reminds us that we are finite, but the Spirit can shine through us and show the infinite love of God. God will use you to change the world. You have a purpose. Beloved people of God, remember that Jesus taught with authority. The time has come. God is with us now. Change your hearts and minds and believe this good news. As we travel these next 40 days and we look inside ourselves and see our sin, because it is there, don't get tempted to think we are only sinful. Remain calm. If you're going through life-changing events that are devastating right now, don't believe what the devil is whispering in your ear. The whispers are all lies. Take the example of God and give yourself a sign to remind yourself of the promise God made to Noah, his family, and all creation. The promise God makes to you. The promise to be with you and to never leave you or hurt you. Through Jesus, even though Jesus was in the wilderness among the wild beasts, the angels waited on him, and the angels are also here for you. Maybe this sign that you make is a hand-drawn sign of a rainbow you taped to your mirror so that you will see that each morning. Maybe it's a note that reads, "You are a beloved child of God. You are worthy of God, of God's love and respect, and God will use you to change the world." Write that on some paper and place it on your coffee maker, your refrigerator, on your desk, so that you see it during the day. Make a sign to remind yourself of the omnipotent, loving God who is willing to tear open the heavens, send the Holy Spirit, and claim you as God's own, as God has done in your baptism. As we travel through Lent together, remember that God's wrath is subordinate to the promise of love and life. This is the covenant of our loving, omnipotent God that God made with all flesh and all creation. The promise God makes to you. God denied some of God's power in order that God may love us. Amen.